Explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And good afternoon and welcome to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston, and my good friend, Father Douglas McKay. Hello, Father. Hello, Father. Hello, Father.
Hello?
Hey, there he is. How are you, pal?
Okay. Hello, you, and hello, everyone out there in radio land.
Amen. We want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners today. Thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. Because of your financial and prayerful contributions, we've been on the air for over 40 years now and able to bring you great shows like today's. And Father McKay and I are part of Warehouse Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anyone else that comes to us. You can learn more about the ministry at ourhouseministries.org. Father and I are also available to come out and speak at your parish or other group. Just get in touch with us through the Our House Ministries website or through Maureen here at In His Sign. Reminder that our Matt Talbot Shrine is open on Tuesdays and Thursdays in St. Gabriel Church in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia. The church is on the corner of 29th and Dickinson. The shrine's available after the 8:30 Mass on Tuesday and Thursday. You can always come down for daily Mass at 8:30. So the shrine's usually open from 9 till about 6 o'clock. On Tuesdays, we have our Calyx meeting at 6. So you come later in the day if you want to come to the Calyx meeting as well. And Thursdays, Father usually closes up around 6 with the Angelus before he goes over to the meeting across the street. So come on out and see us. As Father says, make a pilgrimage. Plan to spend an hour or two. It's a great place to pray the Stations of the Cross. We got some of the best stations I've ever seen there, as well as the other niches that are there with a number of saints and our Blessed Mother and what have you. So come and make a day of it. If you're going to come down and you want to catch up with Father or I, just give us some notice that you're coming, and we can try and meet you when you get there. All right.
Alrighty.
All right. Let's begin with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
The following is the prayer for Matt Talbot's canonization. Lord, in your servant, Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you.
Our Lady of Recovery and St. Joseph.
Pray for us.
Venerable Matt Talbot and St. Monica.
Pray for us.
St. Maximilian Kolbe and St. Mark G.
Pray for us.
St. Francis de Sales and St. Paul.
Pray for us.
Our patron saints and guardian angels.
Pray for us.
All the saints and angels.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. All right, this is a one-hour call-in show, so anybody can call in and join in the conversation. The number's 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906. Or if you're listening from a distance, you can reach us at 888-34-FAITH. That's 888-343-2484. When we come back from the break at the bottom of the hour, we'll have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment. We've got at least a couple good ones for you. But we want to hear from you. If God's touched you in a particular way in the last couple of weeks and you want to witness to our listeners, we would love to have you call in. We'll be giving out the numbers again before we go to the break. So we like to talk about the saints in the liturgical calendar, and we are in the third week of Ordinary Time already. It seems like we just celebrated Christmas, Father.
Yeah, really.
Time marches on. On Monday the 24th, we celebrated the Feast of St. Francis de Sales. Yesterday the 25th was the conversion of St. Paul. Today, Timothy and Titus, and on Friday the 28th, another doctor of the church, Thomas Aquinas. So we thought that we would begin today with St. Francis de Sales. And St. Francis de Sales was born on August the 21st in the year 1567. And like so many of our saints, his parents did not want him to become religious. His father was a lawyer, a senator, and he wanted his son to do the same. So he sent him off to law school in Padua, and he got his doctorate and returned home. And he told his parents, of course, that he didn't want to be a lawyer. He wanted to be a priest. And his father was opposed to it, but after time, and I guess Francis de Sales, even before he became a priest and persuaded many people to convert to the faith, he persuaded his parents to let him become a priest, and finally they would consent. He was ordained and elected provost of the Diocese of Geneva, and that was an area that was very much Calvinist at that time. So we're talking around the beginning of the 17th century. And Francis' goal then was to bring him back to the one Catholic, one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. And he would start to write and distribute these little pamphlets that it would explain true Catholic doctrine. And I think today our friends over at Stewardship Mission and how they do that in those racks we have in all the churches, you know, they rotate some of the materials, but the goal was to get, you know, people to learn the truths of the Catholic faith, and so that we can then be able to evangelize and talk to other people about it. But anyway, at the age of 35, he becomes the Bishop of Geneva, and not only would be administer, but he would also continue to preach and hear confessions and catechize the children. And he would win souls. It sounds like, you know, he was a gentleman that, you know, people were willing to listen to. And it's said that he practiced his own axiom of a spoonful of honey attracts more flies than a barrel full of vinegar. He would write two books that are still well known today, The Introduction to the Devout Life and A Treatise on the Love of God. And at least for me, and I remember over the years asking for materials for laity, and Francis de Sales was really the one that I think was the primary mover and shaker in this area, especially with the introduction to the devout life, which was for lay people, really, you know, how we can live the devout life outside of the monastery, outside of religious life, when we're married and working and raising families and everything else. And so Francis de Sales was very good at that. In spite of everything he was doing in his own life, he would collaborate with a woman who would also become a saint, Jane Frances de Chantal, in establishing the Sisters of the Visitation. And their goal would be to exemplify Mary's visit to Elizabeth, where Mary would show humility, piety, and mutual charity. So they initially limited their works for the poor and the sick, and today some communities conduct schools, and there's also others that are strictly contemplative there with the Sisters of the Visitation. So, you know, Francis de Sales really a key person in the course of our Catholic tradition in writing for the laity and concentrating on the laity in his work. So he would die on December the 28th in the year 1622, and canonized by our Catholic Church for all that he had done. That's St. Francis de Sales, Father.
Yeah, he was called everyone's spiritual director, Ken. Like everybody's called to perfection, but different paths. You know, it's a different lifestyle for a priest than a married person or a monk or a single person, and he brought that out very clearly. But we're all called to sanctity and to holiness. I was just thinking, too, how saints inspire saints, Ken. And St. Francis de Sales, his patron saint was Francis of Assisi. And when he was born in a room with a painting of Francis of Assisi right above him, preaching to the birds and to the fish. And, of course, he loved Francis. He actually had a Franciscan heart. He wore the core, bearer. But saints inspire saints. And then St. John Bosco, whose feast day will be coming up on the 31st of January, his patron saint was Francis de Sales. And he named his congregation, his religious order, after Francis de Sales, the Salesians. It's different than the Oblates of St. Francis de Sales, but that, you know, you just see how saints inspire saints all along the way. They set fires in all of our hearts. But when he was young, he was very intelligent, he spoke humbly, but very devoted to Mary. And he was about 18 years old. He began to have doubts of his own salvation. His fear was he was going to blaspheme God. And this was really troublesome to him. But he knelt before his favorite statue of the Blessed Mother, and he prayed the Memorare. And all the doubts just melted away like snowflakes in the sun. And all the fears were lifted. And what a grace. It was infused. And like you talked about his writings on the love of God, you know, the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Blessed Mother, the Blessed Sacrament devotions, the 40-hour devotion, the procession would go like 18 miles. You know. But his life was, he wanted to be a martyr. And he almost was a couple times. Twice there was assassinations attempts on his life. And another time the wolves had attacked him when he was going to Geneva. And he had to climb up a tree. And it was two Calvinists that really saved his life. And after that, he converted them and led to many, many more conversions. But, yeah, St. Francis de Sales, just a wonderful saint. And the patron saint of the deaf, our deaf brothers and sisters with the sign language. He actually had a servant that was deaf, and he would learn the sign language and communicate with the deaf servant. But just an amazing man. And Just all the writings that he did and the love that he had for God. And he has some beautiful quotes. He said, the measure of love is to love without measure. Listen to that. The measure of love is to measure, is to love without measure. I mean, so beautiful and so simple, and simply put. But his writings, his tracts, and there was one thing, too, that, you know, I heard this twice. I heard this, like a nun went to him and was asking the most important virtues. But I heard this the other day as well, and it was saying that this nun, it was during his deathbed, and she wanted to know about the secrets of the spiritual life. And if he would just write down, you know, what the secret would be. And he wrote in very large letters three words. And he wrote, humility, humility, and humility. And that was St. Augustine. What are the three most important virtues? And Augustine would say, humility, humility, and humility. And he would even define the virtue of humility by saying, knowing that I am totally dependent upon God for everything. And everything means everything. And I give God permission to act in my life, with my life, and through my life. That's what a saint is. It's like St. Paul, I no longer live I, but Christ lives in me. And anyway, when he came to his dying there, Ken, he's dying. He has an assistant around him, and he has some reading some passages from the Bible as he lays murmuring. He's murmuring. You know, he's very sickly and suffering. And this is what was read to him. With expectation, I have waited for the Lord. He was my attentive to me, and he heard my prayers, and he brought me out of the pit of misery and the filthy mire. And then he's clasping the hand of the loving attendant, and he whispers, the night is far spent, and the day draws near. And his last word, and the prayer, his last word, Jesus. How many saints die with that holy name on their lips? Jesus. You know, is there a greater word than that? Something wonderful about that name. It's the name God the Father gives to the angel Gabriel, and his name will be Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Not only sin, can all the fallout of sin, whether it's fears and anxieties and worriment, shame or guilt, anything that's negative, anything that comes between us and God, Jesus, save me from that. And he does. But we have to be humble about it and realize that I can't save myself. I have a Savior. His name is Jesus. And the saints knew this so well. And it wasn't just at the moment of death that they called his name, but all through their lives they would call on that holy name. Jesus, whatever the trouble, whatever the difficulties, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And also, you mentioned St. Jane de Chantel. And there was a few things about her, Ken, that really touched me. With the visitation, she was trying to, you know, not make it something real hard, you know, that we're going to starve ourselves with fasting and whatnot. No great austerities in the rule. And Francis would point out, but a constant crucifixion of our senses, little denials. Like Francis de Sales would say, okay, you're at a meal, enjoy your meal, but just sacrifice one thing. Maybe the bread, maybe the butter, maybe the peas, maybe the corn. But just sacrifice, deny yourself of one thing, and enjoy the rest, little denials. But sometimes I wonder if we're even denying ourselves, Ken, of anything. But in those little denials, we're crucifying our senses, and we're purifying our senses, and our senses are to lead to God, you know, not to me. When I see a beautiful sunrise, it leads me to the Creator, or a beautiful sunset, or, you know, the blue skies, the puffy white clouds, the birds that are singing and chirping, you know, right there is the Creator. So my senses are now doing what they're created to do, is to lead me to the Creator. But something else that St. Jane de Chantel said, And I often think of this quote, destroy, cut, burn whatever opposes your holy will. Anything, Ken, that comes between us and God's will, destroy it, cut it, and burn it, dear Lord. Get it out of the way, and let your will be done, not my will. Let your kingdom come, and not my kingdom. But he suffered too, Ken. You know, at the end there we heard how sick he was, and he talks a lot about the cross, you know, picking up our cross, denying ourselves, and following Jesus because he's taken us somewhere. And I thought I would just end here with his poem, his little saying about the cross. This is by St. Francis de Sales. It's called Your Cross. Our everlasting God has in his wisdom foreseen from eternity the cross that he has presented to you as a gift from his inmost heart. He has considered this cross with his all-knowing eyes, understood with his divine mind, tested with his justice, warmed with loving arms, and weighed with his own hands, to see that it not be 1 inch too large, and not 1 ounce too heavy for you. He has blessed it with his holy name, anointed it with his grace, perfumed it with his consolation, and having taken one last glance at you and your courage, he sent it to you from heaven, a gift from the all-merciful love of God, your cross. Deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me, says the Lord. He's taken us to the Father, to the Father, to the Father. St. Francis de Sales, pray for us.
Amen. And you mentioned those little denials that we do, and I think sometimes, especially those of us that have had addiction in our past, we do everything 110%. We don't do anything just a little bit. And, you know, when we hear, you know, denials, we go right to fasting, right? So we're not going to eat anything rather than, you know, just give up a little bit. And what I found in my own life, that there's times where fasting is being asked. And I think that comes in prayer life. When you're open to what God is asking of you, he'll let you know in one way or another whether or not, you know, you're supposed to be doing these extended fasts. You know, a lot of people will fast on, you know, Fridays, and some, if they're doing it 2 days a week, will add Wednesdays. And you can do the Lenten fast where you can eat three meals, but the third one's no bigger than the first two combined. Some people go on the strict bread and water fasts. Others they'll do absolutely nothing. But, it's what we're called to do. But I think it's in the little denials. And it's funny when, you know, we're going through a conversion process, and until the day we die, hopefully we continue to convert and grow closer to our Lord. I find that, you know, I might be home at night and I will have already had dinner, and you know, it's like, let me go see what's in the freezer, and or I'll go to the cabinet, and you know, and I'm looking for pretzels or cookies or something, and I'll distinctly hear, you know, shut the cabinet, or go into the fridge, and you know, you don't need that. And it's like, sometimes I just laugh, and it's like, all right, and I turn around and go back to whatever it was that I was doing. There's still times where, you know, I'd love ice cream. I really want a bowl of ice cream, and nothing's going to get between me and that ice cream. But there's other times where, you know, I can, you know, turn it off completely, or instead of eating a quart at a time, I'll only have a pint or a half a pint. But it's true. It's in those little things. And I don't think it's so much that the act itself, as much as it is the response to our Lord when he calls us to do these things. And, you know, it just goes through my mind. We don't have to do great things. We just do small things with love, or we just do small things with God in mind. And he, I think, recognizes it. I think he appreciates it. You know, you think of the majority of the people that probably walk around this planet, and in the course of 24 hours, never think of them once, never thank them once. You know, I know from going out to breakfast with you from time to time, and we'll, you know, you will say grace before meals, and it's rare that you'll see others, you know, especially groups or families that'll bless themselves and offer grace in a restaurant, and you go out of your way to, you know, offer Thanksgiving for those that don't offer Thanksgiving. And so I think when we do those little things, when we acknowledge God often throughout the day as we do these little denials, that that he really appreciates that. And we're going to talk a lot about that, I think, in the next hour, because, you know, that's what Jesus kept telling, you know, Louisa Picaretta. It was in the little things that she was doing that he appreciated the most, and recognized that most people aren't doing them. Now, and the other thing, you know, you mentioned it, and I think it goes along with the denials, is the detachment, that whatever we're attached to that has, you know, more priority in our lives than God is our God. You know, we replace God with other things, and until they're all gone, then, you know, the chance of becoming a saint here on earth, you know, gets diminished. It's once we're detached from everything, and that doesn't mean we don't have anything material in our life. It's the attachments that we have to it. You know, do we spend more time, you know, watching it, playing with it, cleaning it, thinking about it, adding to it? Do we spend more time doing that than we do, you know, actually sitting and talking to God? And, you know, I think sometimes we think that spending that time with God is going to be boring, that, you know, nothing happens. I'm not a real saint. I don't hear voices. I don't have visions. I struggle to with distractions, and so, you know, this must not be for me. And I'll you know, do things for God in my busy life. And yet, the whole time I think that we try to do it, that when we try to detach, when we try to sit and be quiet, that God appreciates the effort as much as he does the outcomes. And that if we, you know, try to do it consistently and make it part of our life, that God will respond and he will help with those distractions. He will help us get rid of those attachments that we have. And all in with the idea of becoming closer to him and becoming a saint. But he'll do it. We can't, right? We can't do it. He can. So I think I'll let him.
Yeah, what's the other line, Ken? I can't do it. He can't do it. We can do it. It's like a partnership,
yeah.
You know. What you were saying, with the grace, you made me think of the story with the little girl in the crowded restaurant. Says to her mother, "Mommy, can I say grace?" "Certainly, honey." And she stands up on her chair, and she says, "Quiet, everybody. We're going to say grace." And she says to Grace. And everybody just looks, and everybody quiets down. And how the Lord just... just permeated that whole restaurant, and peace came upon everybody. One little girl, a little witness there, and how God touched so many hearts, Grace. And you mentioned attachments. And, you know, when we come to prayer, a lot of people will say, oh, you know, it's pretty hard for me to get into any kind of a, I don't know, contemplation, passive meditation, because I have so many distractions. Well, distractions are good because they tell us what we're attached to. A lot of times, I'm starting to pray, but I'm thinking about what am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? What's on television? This and that. And then it's showing me, it's revealing. God is revealing to me what I'm really attached to. And that's what I really need to let go. You know, yeah, it's great to have pleasures. Man can't live without pleasure, as St. Bernard said. But the pleasures are to lead us to God and not to ourselves, not to our belly, the God of our belly, but to God himself. He wants us to enjoy everything. He gives us everything. And then you mentioned also, I was thinking about where you say, well, I'm not the saint that, you know, that gets visions or locutions or anything like that. But you're an apprentice saint, and you know what peace is, Ken, and quiet and serenity. You know, that's even deeper than visions, deeper than locutions. In fact, if you have visions and locutions, you're not deep enough. John of the Cross would always say, shun that, you know, because that's not God. It's where the visions lead us to, melting right into his heart and being quiet and being still. You know, I always like to say when two people are kissing in love with one another, they're not talking. They're just in communion with one another. And you made me think about St. Claude de Colombier, who was the confessor, spiritual director of St. Margaret Mary. Well, this is what Jesus said to Margaret Mary, that he is my most perfect friend, my most perfect friend and perfect servant. And Claude never had a vision. He never had a locution. Yet he was the perfect friend of Jesus because he lived the gospel. And that was the things with Saint Jane. You know, her whole motto was, live Jesus. That was the motto. Just live Jesus. You know, and that's what saints do. They see Jesus everywhere. They, you know, like St. Patrick's breastplate. Jesus in the ear that hears me, in the eye that sees me. Jesus above me. Jesus on my left. Jesus on my right. He hems us in. He's everywhere. And saints are lovers of souls because it's more, they go beyond the souls of the person and their idiosyncrasies and their shortcomings and character defects. And they see Jesus, especially in the addicts. They can see Jesus suffering so much. And that's where they find their fulfillment, in touching Christ, in the suffering, in the least of his brothers and sisters. But yeah, you know, the saints, they teach us so much. Where will we be without them? They're walking Bibles, you know, they're really, they reveal the presence of God. You know, they're on fire. You know, you look at them and it's just like you're brought right into the peace and the joy. The presence of God, that's what they do for us. Because, like Paul again, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And that was the other thing about Francis de Sales. They were always complaining that he was too lenient on sinners. And he would say, well, what if we cast off Saul? We wouldn't have a St. Paul. And how true that is. There's saints in each and every one of our hearts. We just got to help to bring that sainthood out of each and every one. And show appeal to people's goodness, that we're all good. We're basically good. That's how we're created. And we're not our character defects and our sins and shortcomings. That's our false self. Help us to get to our true selves in God's very image and likeness, because we're all his eternal children. And saints teach us so well how God lives in each and every one of us. So beautiful. Where will we be without our brothers and sisters, the saints?
Amen. That brings us just about to the bottom of the hour. When we come back, we'll have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment, but we need your phone calls in order to make it happen. So the number's 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or perhaps you're listening through our website at inhissign.com. You can reach us at 888-343-2484. That's 888-343-2484. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
My name is Mario D'Adamo, and I have been a faithful listener to In His Sign Radio Ministry since 1990, and to Kathleen McCarthy as principal host since 2007. Hearing the witness of Kathleen and her guests has contributed greatly to my spiritual growth. They have educated me about the tenets of my Catholic faith by presenting lay and religious leaders discuss topics that help listeners create an informed Catholic conscience. I always encourage people who are in need of prayer and companionship to listen, call in, and become part of our radio listener family by joining thousands of other people praying for your intentions. I personally can attest to the power of the prayers from the ministry. Kathleen often reminds her listeners that you are never alone because the Lord is always with us. Through this Catholic radio and internet apostolate, the Lord is indeed with us in a very tangible way. Please share the good news as Kathleen takes a leap of faith and expanding to a two-hour program to reach many more people who need to experience the love of God. Thank you.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906. Or visit our website at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners, your host Ken Johnston and my good friend Father Douglas McKay. And again, we want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners and thank you for all that you do for us that allows us to bring you shows like today's. A quick update on the Calyx Society, a great organization for Catholics that are in 12-step programs. That's how Father and I got to know each other some 13 years ago. And we gather every Tuesday night in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia, St. Gabriel's Parish. We begin with at 6 o'clock every Tuesday. On all but the third Tuesday, we're in the third floor of the Annex building at 30th and Dickinson Street. The entrance is around the corner on Myrtlewood. You come on up to the third floor, and we have the Angelus and some prayers, followed by adoration at 6, and then between 6:15 and 6:20, Father offers Mass for us. After Mass, we have a quick social, and then our Calyx meeting, where we've been doing Lectio Divina, where we read the Gospel from the prior Sunday and share about it, especially in light of our recovery. There's also a unit in Abington. We're at Our Lady Help of Christians on the third Saturday of the month. We'll be getting to, we just had our meeting last week, so we won't be getting together again until next month. There's also a unit at Queen of the Universe Parish up in Levittown.
And a new pastor.
Parochial administrator, new pastor at Queen of the Universe, right, Father Weber. Moving up there from St. Richard's, where Father offers Mass every Thursday at 8:30. So we'll have to see if Father Brody, the new parochial administrator at St. Richard's, keeps you on, Father. You may get some time back. But anyway, we'll see. But they meet up there on the first and third Thursday of the month at 7 o'clock. If you get in touch with me, I can put you in touch with Tom Gallagher that takes care of that unit up there. But if you or anybody you know is in recovery, get them hooked up with Calyx. Everybody that comes, you know, always says that it's exactly what they've been looking for, being able to marry the 12 steps with their Catholic faith in order to bring about a spiritual experience that I think neither one, the 12-step program or a Catholic faith gives you by itself. All right.
Hopefully that new unit, too, Ken, that will...
That's right. Yeah, we want to mention that, too. This coming Saturday, St. Francis Parish in Springfield, Delaware County, our good friend Luke Latourneau, who was on the radio last week, he and a couple others are starting up a unit at St. Francis in Springfield. They're going to go to the 4 o'clock Mass, the vigil Mass, on Saturday. And Father McKay will be there. You're offering the Mass at 4, Father?
Yes.
And then they're going to have their inaugural Calyx meeting immediately after. So, again, if you know anybody at all that's involved in a 12-step program, AA, NA, Al-Anon, SA, DA, GA, it's alphabet soup, tell them to come out to St. Francis this Saturday and learn more about the Calyx Society. We're going to go to our Is That Odd or Is That God segment. I know I've got at least one, maybe two. I know Father's got one, but before we share ours...
I just thought of two, so maybe you can take that other one, because I had that other one that I shared last night.
Okay.
But no calls, huh?
No, we do. We're going to go to the call first.
Okay.
Oop, and I did it again like I did last week. Put them back on hold there. Hello, Michael.
Hello, Ken. Hello, Father. How are you?
Hey, Mike.
What's going on?
Good. I couldn't believe that I had an Odd or God experience. I always say to myself, like, why doesn't this happen to me? And I'm sure it happened to me. I just don't remember at the time. But last night was, and what a day for it to happen. Anyway, I was talking about my last drink. You know, January 25th, 1987. I was on Bonnie Fitzsimmons' step. And I was all drunk, and I said, "You're going back to jail." And I said, "I'm going to find out if drinking or drugging is my problem." And I made a meeting the next night, and I've been sober ever since. But I was coming home. I came home, and Brian, I had given Brian a book to read, and it was 60 Years an Alcoholic, 50 Years Without a Drink. And it's by Freeman Carpenter. And I believe this guy worked in Living Green. But anyway, I come home and I said, I started reading again, you know, a little bit of it. And I go through a page and there's a Mass card in there. And I turned the Mass card over and who was it but Bonnie Fitzsimmons. I said, "Are you kidding me?"
And
you know, what a day for it to happen. And is that odd or is that God?
God.
It was definitely God, and I felt the experience, and I felt the good feeling from it. And it was just like I felt like crying because, like, I could not believe it was that happened on my 35th anniversary. You know, So I go up to Kensington today, and I get a haircut up there, and I go down Kensington Ave, and it's so sad, you know, it's so sad, and you know, you see Jesus in the attic, and it just made me feel like I should have just got out and just gave one of them a hug or something, you know, because it's sad, man, it's sad, and they just don't know. It's the drinking and drugging, you know, and you put that down and you start dealing with feeling and you believe. And once you believe, there's no stopping. And it's an unbelievable transformation you go through, but you got to stop. But just seeing all them addicts up there, it hurts your heart, you know. But I figured, let me call. I can't believe this happened to me. How to share it. So I'll let you guys get back on, and I'll be listening. Thanks.
Thanks, Michael.
Thanks, Michael.
All right, guys. I'm right.
Congratulations.
Amen.
Thank
35
you. 35
years
thanks,
down, forever to go.
Amen.
Nah, all good, brother. All, right. all good. Thanks for the phone call.
All right, Ken. Thanks.
Yep. Be good.
All right.
So, there's a Mara miracle, Ken, right?
Yeah, gosh, man.
35 years.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I remember him as a little boy.
It's amazing what God can do when you let him.
Yeah.
You know?
What are you saying about Kensington? You see Jesus, but it's the suffering Christ. Help me. You know? And it's so hard to help them when they don't want to be helped. You know? But he's there. Our Lord loves each and every one of us. And it is a sickness. In a lot of situations, it's a terminal sickness. Like you say to somebody, snap out of your cancer. It's like snap out of your drug use, your alcoholism. Well, I wish I could. And you know, Ken, we see them try again and again, up and down. They try so hard, they fall again. Sometimes over a year, you see them doing so well, and down again they go. It's like how powerful this disease is. But Jesus in grace is more powerful. We got to trust him and go to him. That's the only way out. Of all of our addictions, only Jesus can free us from our bondage, our slavery to sin and all addictions. But yeah, Jesus is there. He's right there with each and every one of us. I'm with you always until the end of the world. Just come to me. Come to me. You get no greater invitation than that. Come to me. All you who are weary, find life burdensome, who are addicted to anything, afraid, fearful, come to me, and all will be well.
Amen. Again, the number is 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or call toll-free 888-343-2484. We're in our Is That Odd or Is That God segment where, you know, the things happen in our lives that, you know, there can't be anything other than God. And I have one on Saturday. If you've been listening for a while to our show, you may have heard us talk about the dimes. And every once in a while, when you think you've you're struggling to see God or understand where God is in everything that's going on in this crazy world, and you come across a dime, it reminds us of God, of our faith. And we got it from our beloved and belated friend Joe Kahl, who would find dimes when he would sweep the floor at the Glenside Pub. And he relayed the story to Father, and then Father's relayed it to so many people that everybody comes up with dime stories. But I'm at a Calyx meeting on Saturday over at Our Lady Help of Christians in Abington, and a wonderful woman, Elaine's there. And unfortunately, her son passed away in the last year and a half or so. And like any mother, you know, struggles from time to time in thinking that there were things that she could have done, should have done, and what have you. But anyway, she's relaying a story on Saturday, and she's never heard the dime story. She didn't know anything about dimes. And she was talking about a struggle that she was having a while back and how she came across this dime. And she picked it up and held on to it, and it became a search for her. And she told us on Saturday that she now has a jar full of dimes in her car. So if you need a couple bucks for a pack of cigarettes or something, look for Elaine's car. You'll find a couple dollars worth of dimes in there. But anyway, she was finding all these dimes. And a couple of people that were at the meeting that come to Grace Ferry a lot, or my good friend Paul Mathis and Harry Pyle made it there this week, they know the dime story. And they're winking at me as she's telling the story. So, of course, when she was done, I relayed to her, you know, the whole dime deal with Joe Kahl and all of us in Grace Ferry. And you know, how we find these dimes. And she really got a chuckle out of it. You know, she thought this was all of her own making. And here there's, you know, all these people out there that are doing the same thing. Speaking of which, I need to ask you, Father, did you happen to lay a dime down last night halfway, like in the middle of the gate for the parking lot?
No.
Come on now.
Honest guy.
There was one there this morning when I pulled in. I went to open the gate, and as I'm sliding it across, There is right in the entrance. There was a dime laying there.
How about that?
Yeah.
Otter God.
Otter God is right.
Yeah. Ken, before you go into your other story.
Yeah.
Otter God. You know, I just want to, you made me think of Joe Kahl, and I remember the first time he shared that with me. And it was, you know, that he would sweep out the pub, and he would find dimes. And he said that was always the presence of God for him. And then he would do that at the holy hour there in church, and it would be like, I don't know, 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock in the morning, one of those really wee early hour mornings. And he was getting a little frustrated, and he was going to give it up. So he thought, maybe this will be my last one. And he stood up from the kneeler in front of the Blessed Sacrament, and there was a dime. And that kept him going in those holy hours. And I remember when he told me that story, because it was really connected with the Eucharist.
Mm.
I started to find dimes everywhere, you know. And Joe Grady, I remember right after that, Joe Grady, we were at the Pink Sisters, right outside the doors. And I'm telling him the stories about the dimes. Now, we had, I don't know, I forget if we were just going in or coming out, making a holy hour. And I was telling Joe, right in front of the doors of the Chapel of Divine Love, about the dime stories. Joe, I'm finding them everywhere. And this lady's coming in. And she's like, she looks down between us. She says, oh, this is a dime. She picks up a dime, says, is this yours? Exactly when we were talking about the dime story. And then I really started to spread those stories around more and more about the dimes. And I don't know if anybody has found more dimes than me, Ken. I got so many
yeah.
dimes.
Yeah, yeah, you're a millionaire.
It's, like,
those
it's
dimes.
Almost like they're not as exciting when I first found them,
yeah.
but they're almost like everywhere. Like, you know, it used to be pennies from heaven. Now they're dimes from heaven.
Amen.
Yeah, I wanted to really bring that in with Joe Collin,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
how that was so connected to the Eucharist, finding dimes.
Very good. The other one was last week, Father had an opportunity to escape to the shore for a couple of days. And on Thursday, I knew you were up there packing. You got the car all packed up. You came in
to get out.
Yeah, you came in to say goodbye. And 5 minutes later, you come back in and saying the car won't start. And I asked you if the battery was dead. And you're like, no, it's cranking. It just won't start. And I said, all right, let's go out and we'll take a look. And, you know, I got in there and I turned the key a couple times, nothing. Try again, nothing. And Father and I were at the Knights of Immaculata retreat in November. And Jeff Cavins gave the retreat. And he talked about a story one night where a woman had broken down. And he pulled over to help her and asked her what was going on, and you know, the car wouldn't start, and he's not a mechanic by any means. He didn't know what else to do, so he I think she popped the hood, and he went around and you know, looked around like he thought he knew he was doing something, and then decided the only thing he could do was pray. So he said a prayer, told her to try it again, and it started right up. So Father and I were Father was getting ready to unpack the car and go back in. And like, let's say try that prayer thing Jeff Cavins did. So we popped the hood. Father jiggled a couple wires. I went back in the car. I could see him putting his hands on the alternator and the battery and what have you. And then I, you know, hollered at to him, you know, move your hands away. I'll try it. And I tried it once and it didn't start. Tried it again, pumping the gas a little bit, and lo and behold, it turned over.
Yeah.
And is that odd or is that God?
My eyes popped out.
Yeah.
I remember when you said that, well, you know, I'm ready to unpack. I'm, you know, I'm tired. I just want to rest at this point. And you brought up Jeff Cavins, and, you know, I said, all right, we'll pop the hood. I'm looking at it. I'm saying, that was Jeff Cavins, Ken. I don't know if God's going to do that for me, but hey, why not? I'm
going
to put an act of faith here. If he wants me to go to the shore and rest up, that's where I'm going to go. If not, I'm going to go back to bed here and just put my hands over Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And all of a sudden you hit it and it started up. I said, we're out of here.
Amen.
But, yeah, that was something.
Yeah. No, that was awesome.
And I don't know anything about cars. Remember years ago, Ken, as a kid, it was the carburetor.
Right.
And the little butterfly would get stuck, and that's what I was looking for. And you said, they don't make those carburetors anymore.
Yeah, nah, that's so 20th century, Father.
Oh, God. I said, well, what do I touch? What, you know, I don't know, Lord. You got to do this. You're the mechanic here. Yeah, that was amazing when that started over. Yeah, otter God.
Very good. And then I think you had one last night.
Yeah, I was thinking about, you know, when I got back from the shore Monday, I needed to, you know, go to the Acme, buy some things. So I said, you know, let me stop at Dunkin' Donuts. I'll get a coffee and a bagel. And, you know, park down by the lakes, and I'm looking out, and, you know, there's nobody's there. You know, I see this one guy coming down. He has a Notre Dame jacket on. I said, man, that looks like Chuck, you know. And he's coming down. I said, man, he walks like Chuck. And I looked about inside. He said, "That looks like Chuck's car." And then I saw Chuck, you know. And I said, "I was kidding, Chuck. I hope you didn't take any offense." And then I said, "I saw this big belly on Chuck who was walking." I said, "That is Chuck." But anyway, the otter god was how we met, you know, and how he sat in the car. I finished my coffee, and then I said, "Let's do one more walk around." And we did. And all we talked about was the Lord. And Chuck felt the presence of God. I felt the presence of God. All the birds there, he said, "We have to ask Ken about the robins. I never saw so many robins in my life." And I said, "They're harbingers of spring. What are they doing here?" But they were there. Yeah. But it was just such a peaceful, restful walk. And I said, you know, of all the people to meet, there was Chuck, you know, and I probably needed to talk to somebody anyway and just walk around God's beautiful lake and listen to his beautiful birds singing. Yeah. But yeah, God was all over us there, you know. And Chuck had his own stories too. Yeah. He needed to walk with somebody and see somebody, and he shared that last night.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, God's present in everything, even though we don't see him or experiencing him. I mean, I wouldn't have a heartbeat right now or move my little finger, being able to talk to you or you being able to hear me and listen and understand what I'm saying, all the people out there in radio land listening to us. You know, it's all God. You know, God has to, the Holy Spirit has to be upon us and all over us that we can understand and hear and get these God bumps and experience the presence of God. But he's with us always until the end of the world, even though we don't realize it or acknowledge it or aware of it. He is there all the time, always and everywhere. Amen.
Amen is right. Amen is right. You're going to have to start taking Patrick to the lake soon. He had his last physical therapy today.
Okay.
He's got some exercise to do, but he's going to be ready to – he'll be jogging around the lakes by summer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I missed those walks with him.
Yeah. Very good. All right. I think that's it for Odd But God. Just a quick note that on in about 15 minutes, I guess, we're going to have Daniel O'Connor on again today talking about his book, Thy Will Be Done, and Louisa Picaretta. You're not going to want to miss it. Stick around for that today. Yesterday, are we done with Francis DeSales, Father?
I think we are. Yeah, I think so, Ken.
Yeah. And yesterday we celebrated the conversion of St. Paul. Mike, that called in earlier, you know, reminds us every year on that feast day was the day that he had his last drink. And we discussed it a little bit last night at our Calyx meeting. You know, what we know about Paul is, you know, he was really one to, he was out to get the people of the way, those that were following Jesus Christ. He was he's an Old Testament guy. He, you know, he was a holy man in his own right before he converted. You know, he believed in the God of the Old Testament. He, like others, was fearful of these new people that they were going to, you know, persuade people to go along this with this guy Jesus, the new guy that came along. And so he persecuted the early church. He would go after the Christians. He was there when St. Stephen was martyred. He had gone to the leaders of the Jewish faith and gotten their permission to round up those that were following the way. And every year when I hear that, I think back to when I was in grade school, and I don't even think they make that version of the Bible anymore, but there was one that was called The Way, and we all got a copy in grade school. But that's who we were initially, the people of The Way, and now Christians, Catholics, we are, but St. Paul initially wanted nothing to do with it, and God, you know, he had his own Is That Odd or Is That God experience where, you know, he gets struck down. He was not on a horse or a donkey, at least not in Scripture. So if you say horse or donkey, you're making it up. But, you know, blinded for 3 days, eventually would meet up with Ananias. And, you know, whether it was through a sudden injection of faith and knowledge, locutions, whatever it was, Paul comes away from that experience with the zeal for the way. And comes to know Jesus, and you know, would eventually die as a result of his faith. But probably the greatest evangelizer of certainly of early times, maybe of all time, in the places that he went and the travels he made, and the number of converts that he would bring to the faith as a result of that evangelization.
Yeah, You know, even the way Paul died, Ken, I was just thinking that he was decapitated, and there's a tradition said his head bounced three times, and each time his lips mouth, Jesus, 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 and there it is again. But, yeah, you know what I get out of Paul? Gosh, it's just, you know, what he did, and you know, the how proud-hearted he was, and how God can take all that, and Paul can rechannel everything that was misdirected to directing it all to the glory of God and to the love of God and the love of souls. Well, what a missionary he was, going all over and winning souls for Christ. But he went on fire. And what I get more out of Paul is really his mysticism. And that didn't come overnight. You know, yeah, okay, he had a mystical moment there when he saw the light. I always say he saw the light. That's where the term comes from, I've seen the light. And not the Bud Light, but the light of Jesus. But as he would progress, you know, through, I mean, this man was beaten up, and shipwrecked, he was stoned, left for dead. He was lashed like five times, you know, 40 times lashes. And he just kept going, just kept loving God. And it was through the suffering, through the tribulations and trials that Paul would talk about. No one enters the kingdom without trials and tribulations. And boy, did he have them. But boy, it was all worth it when he starts to talk about the mysticism, like his vocabulary, like he stretches the human language and bankrupts the dictionary, like inscrutable riches of Christ, the utter fullness of God, more than we can even ask for or imagine is what God wants to give to us, you know, but we first have to give ourselves to God, do what he tells us, and he will reveal himself, and he does, he reveals himself. But Paul's lines, you know, all those quotes that really help me all the time. I think of all those lines, like, I no longer live I, but Christ lives in me. Or, you know, when I'm weak, I'm strong because his power rests upon me. I can do all things in him who strengthens me. You know, it's all Jesus for Paul, all Jesus. He's living in Jesus. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And that's what it is. Jesus Christ came in our humanity so that we may share in his divinity and become one, God, by participation. What these saints teach us and show us, we be in the dark. Without John of the Cross and Teresa Avila and all these mystics, what they're teaching us, this is for real. This is what God wants to give us, and it doesn't get better than that. You know these inscrutable riches of Jesus Christ that he wants to give to us. And you know when he touches your heart. But first I have to keep his commandments, do what he tells us, listen to him. And it will be glory time, Ken.
You not know, Miller time.
That's right. Climbing Mount Zion, not Mount Mayan.
Amen. Amen.
We're coming short.
We've got about a minute or two left. But
yeah. Maybe I could just end with that. I don't know if I have time for it, though, that five paragraphs. But one thing, just about conversion. Conversion is an ongoing process, and it's on all levels of living. You know, it's how I eat. It's how I drink. It's the clothes I wear. It's the things I have. You know, it's detachment. It's on all levels of living, conversion. And when I convert, I turn away from something that is not of God. But it's more importantly to know that I'm turning towards something. I'm turning towards God, towards his grace, towards his help, like Paul did, like all the saints do. And they receive all the help that they need and all the strength that they need and all the graces that pour out of them, all the goodness. Anything good comes through us, but not from us. But we share in the very life of Christ, Ken. And that's conversion, turning to Jesus and staying with him, living with him, in him, and through him all the days of our life.
Amen. Well, Father, the hours just every week just seem to fly by. We don't have enough time to cover everything we want to, but hopefully we get out what God needs us to get out. And it's all good. I said, I'm going to be joined in the next hour by Daniel O'Connor. He's already on the phone, I think, so we'll have a full hour with him, and looking forward to that. Father, can we get your blessing before we go?
Yeah, and I know there's a lot of elderly out there that listen to us, Ken, and just want to remember them in our prayers and in this blessing and all of our listeners. And I, as you know, I was visiting a friend today, Nancy Kerr. She gave me lunch and brought her the sacraments and had a wonderful time, and I know she's listening. So for her and for all the elderly who are listening, especially those who may be in hospice and who are sick and even may be dying. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit,
amen.
Amen. K, Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing upon us all through the heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, chaste heart of St. Joseph, to bind all our hearts as one by the gift of your Spirit, that we may always be close to you on this pilgrimage until we all come home into that place in heaven that's prepared for us, Father, by your Son, Jesus, and be with all our loved ones, all of our relatives and parents, brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles, grandparents, that we may all know who we are, where we come from, where we're going, and where we belong. Thank you, Father, for the gift of life, the promise of eternal life, and bless us all, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. All right. Thanks, thank you, Father. Talk to you soon. For our listeners, don't go away. We'll be right back.